Woo, I feel like I'm in the spirit up here. In the spirit on the Lord's day. Hallelujah. Luke 24, 1 through 12, let's start with. Believe it or not, I have a shorter message than usual. Okay, hey, don't get too happy. I see a smile on that face. But, you know, the rabbit trails kind of make it, you know, well, all right. Luke 24, 1 through 12. It says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and other certain women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. They were angels, by the way, all right? Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he said when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. You know, Jesus did make it pretty plain, didn't he? Amen. What has the Holy Spirit spoken to you about something you thought that was dead? But he said, hang in there, stay faithful, right? Don't give in to that hopelessness. Amen. Hold on to that word, amen? And they remembered his words. That sometimes we just got to be reminded. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to be like idle tales. And they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. You got to love Peter's passion, don't you? Yeah. And stooping down, he saw the linen clothes laying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. So, as you know, today is Resurrection Sunday. I don't know about you, but I like to say Resurrection Sunday more than Easter. I do. I just like Resurrection Sunday because it is about Jesus, right? Where we remember and celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is alive and well, and Jesus is in heaven right now. Is he not? Right? He's in heaven. That's his new address, right? All right? The title of my message is this, and you kind of heard it through a prophetic word today. Thank God for rolling stones. Yes, that song that was playing was not Brown Sugar by the Rolling Stones. It was a biblical song with the same beat. So Silas thought that that'd be kind of cute. So thank God for rolling stones. Say rolling stones. After Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he remained on the earth for 40 days before ascending into heaven. Did you know that? Some people think right when he was resurrected, he got beamed up, Scotty. No, he didn't. No. He stayed on the earth 40 days, walked the earth. During those 40 days, he was teaching. He was preaching about the kingdom of God. He was hanging out, you could say, with his disciples. Don't you like? Wouldn't you have loved to hang out with Jesus during that 40 days? I would have loved that. Oh, my goodness. After his resurrection, Jesus had a physical body. Some people think, oh, no, he had a spirit. He was a spirit being. He was just a spirit. No. He was literally resurrected from the dead, and he had a physical body. He was not just a spirit being, okay? Jesus was proving. He was proving that he was indeed raised from the dead. Jesus didn't stay in the tomb after being resurrected from the dead, and he did not immediately go to heaven. So just know, say 40 days. He walked 40 days. Oh, what time that would have been, right? See, angels rolled away the stone so that Jesus could walk out of that tomb and prove to many that he indeed was alive and well. And here's the other, not just that, but this is what Jesus wanted to do. Are you ready? He wanted to impart wisdom and revelation about the kingdom of God. He wanted to impart wisdom and revelation about the kingdom of God. I love that about Jesus. He loved to teach people about the kingdom of God. He was an amazing teacher. The people ate it right up. They wanted to be, well, you read the Gospels, they were following him. Just crowds of people were following him because he was just so sweet to be around, right? And he had the anointing of the Holy Ghost, amen? So people loved being around him. He was an amazing teacher. Oh, I love that about Jesus. He didn't just keep that knowledge to himself. He imparted it to others, and now he imparts it to us through the written word of God and the Holy Spirit that lives in you as a Christian. Think about that. Jesus was imparting that knowledge of the kingdom of God so that the advancement of the kingdom would continue to move forward even after his departure from this earth. Oh, I love that. See, Jesus never intended for his earthly ministry, his ministry or works that he started, he never intended for those things to stop after his departure. Oh, no. He even sent, when he ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to empower you and I to continue to advance the kingdom of God on this earth and to be witnesses for him on this earth. So today I want to give you a few points that will strengthen your faith. Are you ready? In the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the stone was rolled away and Jesus walked out of the tomb to prove that he was alive. And because of that, because he walked around, because he proved it, it gave his disciples, say disciples. It gave his disciples a boldness and confidence to continue to preach, to continue to teach the truth. Are you ready for this? Even in the face of persecution and death. Amen. Think about that. The resurrection of Jesus was evidence, was proof. It was the stamp of approval, you could say, of everything that Jesus did and everything that he taught in his earthly ministry. Stamp of approval. It strengthened the disciples', you could say, conviction. Oh, I like that word. The conviction in their heart. It strengthened their conviction. It strengthened their faith in their heart. Nothing was going to move them after the amazing proof of seeing, talking to the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection from the dead. But think about this. We should have that same conviction. We should have that same faith in our heart right now. Amen. You need to have that faith and conviction right now. Some of you are saying, well, they actually seen him and talked to him. No, you have the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you is giving you that conviction where you know it's true. Have you ever had someone, an atheist or someone, come up to you and said, well, how do you know? And you're like, I just know it's true. It's the truth. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's bearing witness in your spirit that Jesus is the truth. That the word of God is the truth. Think about this. What the disciples gave up to follow Jesus was absolutely affirmed and confirmed that it was the best decision they've ever made. Amen. Oh, I love that. That's what the resurrection did for them. And it's the best decision you will ever make on this earth of making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Amen. You know, I think a lot of times when we hear these Bible stories so often, a lot of times we just start to, we lower it down to that this is just a fairy tale. That, oh, you know, it becomes common to us. You know what I'm saying? It just becomes common to us. But it isn't just a fairy tale. It isn't just a good bedtime story for your children. It is the truth. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a reality, and it impacted everything. In the spirit realm and in the natural realm. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was so powerful that it proves, are you ready for this? Let's go there. It proves all other religions are false. And they have absolutely no power or truth in them compared to the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All other religious leaders are still in their graves. They're still in their tombs right now, okay? But Jesus and Christianity has proven to be the one and only truth on this earth. In the universe, say universe. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only truth. And spiritually speaking, everything else is a spiritual counterfeit. It's a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit from the enemy to pull people away from the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over 2,000 years later, many people have forsaken all. They've forsaken sin. They've forsaken the junk of the world to follow Jesus because they have that conviction. They have that faith on the inside of them. They know Jesus is the one and only truth. The truth of Jesus Christ and the proof of his resurrection is undeniable. Let's talk about some facts. Are you ready? There was indeed an empty tomb. Say empty tomb. Now listen to this. One of the arguments that the skeptics talk about is that the enemies of Jesus has taken or stolen his body out of the tomb. Have you ever heard that before? Oh, his enemies took him. Well, if his enemies would have taken the body, listen to this. Are you ready for this? They wouldn't have hid it. They would have shown everyone and said, see, here's his body. Jesus is still dead. This is his body. He's not resurrected. Are you following me? So that one, put that one to bed. Another lie of the devil is that his disciples stole the body just to say that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Well, listen to this. First of all, there were guards in front of the tomb constantly. Secondly, there was a huge stone in front of the tomb, in front of that opening. So it wouldn't be a quick or an easy task for them to do. I would have to say it would have been an impossible thing for them to do. Amen? Put that one to bed. The disciples and others that literally saw Jesus and spoke to him after being resurrected from the dead, listen, again, were willing to lay their lives down, their very lives down, and take persecution for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a lie, the gospel would not have spread like wildfire around the world. And by the way, it spread like wildfire without the internet, without satellite, without Daystar, without TBN. Are you following, without Charisma Magazine? Are you following me? I mean, there's something happening. Why? Because he is the one and only truth. Amen? These Christians were convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ was indeed resurrected from the dead. The followers of Jesus, again, would have never sacrificed their lives, would have never sacrificed all their possessions for what they knew was a lie. I said what they knew was a lie. You might say, I can hear some people now, they're saying, well, you know, a lot of people who are in cults and false religions, you know, they die for their beliefs, right? But those people, you got to remember this, those people are deceived into thinking they're right. It's a deception. If they knew it was a deception, they never would die for it. Are you following me? So I'm talking about Jesus' followers. If they knew what they believed really turned out to be a lie, they would have never died for such a cause. Would you? I wouldn't. Would you die for a lie? I would never die for a lie. Amen. Think about that. So we have the proof contained in the Word of God combined with the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our heart, in our spirit man. And that is a powerful combination. That combination right there led the disciples, led the apostles, led all of them to be martyred for the sake of Jesus Christ. That's not an easy thing to do. But they knew they couldn't renounce him. They couldn't forsake him. Why? Because he's the one and only truth. He is the way and the life. He's the only way to eternal life. Like Peter said, Jesus said to Peter, "Are you gonna leave me too?" And he said, "Master, where would we go? Where are you gonna? Let me ask to all the backslidden Christians, Let me ask all the atheists, where are you gonna go?" There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. There's two things that are guarantees in life, and that's death and taxes. Are you following me? You're going to die one day. Either you pay for your own sins and you go to hell in the lake of fire for eternity, or by faith you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he paid for it. Amen. And you go into paradise. Yes. For eternity. Think about that. Wow. Here's another point. I know the resurrection of Jesus Christ took place because Satan and demonic spirits, the kingdom of darkness, fight this truth of the gospel so hard. The enemy is not going to fight something that's a lie. Are you following me? Out of all the religions on this earth, Christianity is the one that is the most rejected and controversial on the face of this earth. They receive the most persecution. We receive the most persecution for putting our faith in Jesus Christ. There is an agenda on this earth from the kingdom of darkness through evil people to eliminate the truth of Jesus and the word of God. Now, who do you think is behind that motivation? Come on. The word of God says in Ephesians 6:12, it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high or heavenly places." See, here's what cults and false religions say. How do you spot a cult? How do you spot a false religion? It's the one that say, by the way, they don't deny that there was a Jesus. What do they say? Oh, he wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't deity. He was just a good man. No, he was just a prophet. No, he was more than a good man. He was the God man, the Son of God, who came down to earth to be the spotless Lamb of God, to die on the cross, to take your sin away when you put faith in him. And then he rose from the dead to give you hope and a future of eternal life. Amen? So the cults and false religions, they reject that he was the Son of God. They reject he was a deity. They reject the resurrection. Pretty clever, devil. Think about this. The enemy has tried his best to distract the world away from the truth of Jesus Christ. And Jesus' amazing and powerful resurrection from the dead by the Holy Spirit. How do we know the Holy Spirit raised him? Because the same Spirit that lives in you that raised Jesus from the dead. So we know it was the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Are you following me? So there is a reason why, out of all the religions, Christianity is the most controversial on this earth, because it is the one and the only truth. There's not many truths. There's one truth. Amen. And his name is Jesus. Many people in times past, listen to this. Many people in times past have tried to get rid of the Bible. They tried to burn them, but they tried to erase it from history. But guess what? It's impossible. And not just that, the Bible is the best-selling book of all time. And there's a reason, because it's not just your Huck Finn book. Hello, somebody. It's a supernatural love letter from your creator. It's the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. It's your instruction manual. Well, I don't know what to do. Get into the Word of God. Amen. I never hear God's voice. Read the Bible out loud. Amen. Huh? Then you'll hear it. Then you'll hear the voice of God. How about that? Right? Think about that now. Hallelujah. So many people have tried to get rid of it, but it's impossible. The Word of God, by the way, is infallible. It's infallible. There is no mistakes in it. It's supernatural. Listen to this. The Word of God, the Bible, is even the last count I seen, it's illegal. Say illegal. In 52 countries on this planet. Why would a book like that be illegal? That tells you not to murder. That tells you to walk in love. That, think about that. Why? Because Satan doesn't want the Word of God to get in people's heart and get them born again. That's why. Because Satan knows he's going to lose big time. Even getting the Ten Commandments, a statue of the Ten Commandments out of schools, away from courthouses. Courthouses! Are you kidding me? The Ten Commandments. Oh, They're the tender commandments. So the Bible and prayer have been taken out of public schools. They've been taken out of certain areas. And that's a shame, right? And then people wonder why are our children killing children in schools? Why is so much junk happening? Well, I'll tell you why. When you kick God out, it creates a vacuum for the kingdom of darkness and evil to come in. It's that simple. Something's going to fill. There's one of two kingdoms that are going to fill that place, either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. It's that simple. There's only two kingdoms. And those are the only two. So Christians are the most persecuted group of people on the face of this earth. But it's no surprise, because that even confirms what Jesus said. He said, you will be hated for my name's sake. You're going to be hated. Anybody been hated lately for the name of Jesus? And if not, maybe you're not talking about him enough. Maybe you're not taking a stand. Maybe you're going with the flow of the world. You know, in the flesh, it's easier to go with the flow of the world, right? But that's not what we're called to do as Christians. We're called to go against the flow of the world. And Jesus said, because you're going against that flow, you will be persecuted. You will be hated, all right? The enemy hates everything about Jesus, but especially the proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, Muhammad and all those other leaders are still in the grave, but Jesus is not. The tomb is empty. Again, you need to understand, I want to drive this point home again. It's not a fable. It's not a children's story. It's not only a story to tell your children. Oh, no, it's for you of all ages. Amen? Don't make the resurrection so common that you aren't in awe of it. Listen, let me say that again. Don't make the resurrection of Jesus Christ such a common thing that you are never in awe of it. We need to be in awe of Jesus, in awe of the resurrection. Jesus was beaten. He was tortured. He was crucified on a bloody cross, and he died. And he was put in a tomb, and he literally was raised from the dead. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah. We need to always, if you're not in awe of Jesus Christ, it's time for a heart check. It's time to go back to the basics, and it's time to get into the Word, and it's time to get back into prayer, get into a right relationship. It means that maybe your heart has, oh, come on, the soil in the garden of your heart has become a little hard, a little, crusty. Say crusty. Yeah, yeah. 1 Corinthians, I knew I'd get a chuckle out of that one. No, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 through 8. Let's look at this. It says, moreover, brethren, he's talking to Christians, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Whoa, let's just camp out on there. Did you catch that? Did anybody just catch what I read there? Hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. You know what that means? Once saved, always saved is a lie. Hold fast to it. Abide in him. Hold fast. Don't let it go. Notice it says, unless you believed in vain. Come on, somebody. Oh, that's shout material. Oh, come on now. Listen, verse 3. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at one time, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some have fallen asleep or died. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. It said, literally says that Jesus just wasn't seen by 500 people. It said he was seen by 500 at one time. Jesus came strolling in and 500 people gathered around and literally seen him with their own eyes. Can you believe that? So people are testifying. We seen Jesus after he was resurrected, all right? This is not just a fable here. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the victory, the bedrock. Say bedrock. of the Christian faith. Listen to this. You can't even get saved. You can't even get born again without believing in the resurrection. Romans 10, 8 through 9 talks about it, that you must believe in your heart that God has what? Raised him from the dead. So you can't say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I just have a little problem with this resurrection thing. Sorry, you're not saved then. To be able to get born again, the resurrection is the foundation of believing it. And that's what gets you saved. Now you can see why Satan fights so hard the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because you've got to believe that part of the gospel to even go to heaven one day. Acts chapter 1. Go there with me. You getting anything out of this? All right. Now, Acts 1. Verses 1 through 3. Oh, the Word of God is so rich, isn't it? Hallelujah. Acts 1, 1 through 3 talks a little bit more about Jesus after his resurrection here. It says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." To do and teach. We not only need to speak it, but we got to go do some things to advance the kingdom. Amen? "Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many," underline it, "infallible proofs. Being seen by them 40 days," there's that 40 days after his resurrection, "and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Many infallible proofs. Now, the definition of the word infallible is simply this. Are you ready? Is incapable of making mistakes or being wrong. Incapable of making mistakes or being wrong. The Word of God is going out of his way. The Holy Spirit is going out of his way to say, look, he really did get raised from the dead. You can believe it. You can put your whole life on it. Amen? So in other words, this. So it's incapable of making mistakes or being wrong. In other words, it takes, are you ready for this? It takes a fool, say fool, to reject all the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, what does the Word of God say in Psalms? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Amen? Jesus didn't just show himself to a few people for one day. Again, he was seen by many people during that 40-day mark. Thank God the stone was rolled away. Thank God, come on, for rolling stones. No, not the rolling stones. Rolling stones. Amen? The rolling stones need Jesus, by the way. You do know that, right? Mick Jagger, if you're watching right now and all you, right? Keith Richards, right? Is that the rolling? Okay, yeah. I never really did listen to them. But listen. So Jesus was not a spirit being when he was raised from the dead. He had a physical body, and we're going to prove that here. Go to Luke 24. Luke 24. Hallelujah. Luke 24, verse 36 through 42. Hallelujah. It's good to be gathered together on Resurrection Sunday. Amen? Every time we gather is beautiful. Amen? And the Word of God says that we need to gather as much as possible, especially in these end times, to encourage each other, to build each other up. Why? Because there's going to be temptation to fall away from the truth. And we need to build each other up. We need to strengthen. We need to hear the Word. We need to pray together. Amen? All right, off my soapbox. Now, here we go. Luke 24, 36 through 42. It says, "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them," what? So Jesus just shows up in the middle of this room. You know, as Star Trek, you see it, right? You know, the molecules, whatever. I don't know. There's some science behind it from the Holy Ghost, but we don't know it yet. Listen. "And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me or touch me and see. For a spirit or a spirit being does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But why they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. All right, so Jesus proved that he had a physical body after his resurrection by showing them his hands and his feet, right? And it said he even ate broiled fish and honeycomb, all right? So a spirit being cannot do that, right? They try to put something up their mouth, and it's going to fall right to the ground, okay? So we're just getting practical here, right? But Jesus was going out of his way to prove that he was risen from the dead. There was a certain individual that really had a struggle. He was really struggling. The struggle bus was strong on him, all right? And he had doubts about Jesus being raised from the dead. Go to John chapter 20. Say struggle bus. Yeah, get off the struggle bus, would you? Now, look at this. John 20, verses 24 through 31. Hallelujah. Now, this is something in here blows my mind, all right? This something in here blows my mind. But look at this. Now, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see his hands, the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Boy, Jesus is merciful to show up to him. You know that, right? Or else he would have been on a one-way road to hell. You following me? Listen. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those, underline it, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. Listen, why is it written then? But these are written that you, say me, you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believe, and that believing you may have life in his name. Hallelujah. Now, so Thomas would not take the other disciples' words as truth, that Jesus was alive. After that conversation, all right, it was 8 days later. Say 8 days. 8 days. 8 days later, they were in that same room, door shut. Jesus appears. I don't know why I use that noise. I do. I just, it's from my childhood with Star Trek. Listen, but here, listen to this. The Holy Spirit had me write this note this morning. It wasn't in my notes, but I wrote it down. Sometimes God, listen to me, you might have a question. You might need help with something, and it might not come immediately. Listen to me. Sometimes God, yeah, might even respond 8 days later. But he will respond. And not just, don't sit on it. You just wait on him. You keep drawing close to him. Amen? You be alert. Pay attention to him. So anyways, and Jesus shows Thomas the scars in his body and even says to touch them. Here's what I find mind-blowing. Are you ready for this? I find this mind-blowing that Jesus still had to say to Thomas, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Now picture this scene. Jesus is standing in front of him, the holes in the hands, holes in the feet, and Jesus still has to say, don't be unbelieving, but be believing. What? Are you following me? Do you see the kind of humor in this? He was literally standing in front of Thomas, but Jesus still had to say that. Now, that is a pessimistic, negative person right there. You ever had that with someone? They're so negative. I mean, you could say blue and they'll say green. I mean, it's just, yeah, you know. So that tells me this then. If Jesus had to tell Thomas that with Jesus standing in front of him, that tells me that your fleshly mind will try to fight it even when the proof, come on, is right in front of you. Even when God is the proof, he's showing you things. He's giving you confirmation. And you still choose to walk in that doubt and unbelief. Come on. Our fleshly mind can do some crazy things. That's why we need to stand in faith. Let your faith override that fleshly desire to get into negativity. Amen? And here's what you need to know. A person's heart must be bent. Say bent. A person's heart must be bent toward faith, toward believing the truth. That is why it says in the Bible, it says when you listen to the Word of God, when you hear the Word, you want to know what it says? That it needs to be mixed with faith. So evidently, we can hear the Word of God, and there's no faith mixed in it. You need to have faith mixed. Say, I got to mix some faith on the inside of me. Come on. Don't ignore the massive amount of evidence that is all around us. All right? That number one, that there is a very real God that created everything. He created us. He created everything. Everything we see. And Jesus Christ did come to this earth. He died on a bloody cross and was raised from the dead. I love how Jesus said. He said, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. You know what Jesus is talking about there? Faith. You want to know what that means? There's a reward for standing in faith in your life. Even when you don't see it, when everything looks, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. When everything looks contrary, everything is pointing to negativity, but you're standing on the promises in the Word of God. Blessed are those who have not seen. Blessed are those who have not seen their answer to prayer yet, but they're still holding on. They're still believing. Amen? So faith in Jesus, faith in the Word of God will release blessings in your life. And remember, we walk by faith, not by sight, all right? So hold on to the rope of God's Word in your life. I have one final point to make, and we're done. And you can go to lunch, okay? Listen to this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ reveals to us that, again, here it is, and I've touched on it a minute ago, there is no such thing as a hopeless situation in our life. The resurrection, your faith in the resurrection should release hope in your heart for every area of your life. God is able to turn everything around for good. I don't care what has happened to you. God can turn the test into a testimony. Come on, amen? He can turn the mess into a message. Are you following me? Okay, so there was a huge stone covering that tomb, and there were guards there, all right? Those are some pretty strong hindrances, and Jesus was dead for 3 days. He didn't just get resurrected 2 minutes after he took his last breath. Oh, no. No, 3 days, say 3 days. Seems like a pretty impossible situation for us, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. Everything pointed to defeat and hopelessness in the natural. But with God, all things are possible. And all things are possible because of this, because Jesus Christ is alive. Church, you need to allow that truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to ignite hope and faith on the inside of you. We can truly stand on the solid rock of the Word of God and the assurance of who Jesus Christ said he was. And he is alive and well today. He is coming back, by the way, for a spotless bride. That's you and I. So stay close to him. Draw close to him. And talk to him. Talk to him. Say, I'm going to talk to my Heavenly Father. And commit every area of your life to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Let's end it like this. Thank God for Rolling Stones. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on down. Glory to God. Now, maybe there's someone in this place or watching online. You've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Listen to me. The moment you take your last breath, it's done and over. That's not a scare tactic. That's just truth. The moment you take your last breath, there's no purgatory. There is no praying you out of purgatory. There is no paying you out of purgatory. Because there is no purgatory. It's either heaven or hell. You're taking the elevator up or down, and it all depends on, and it hinges on this one thing. Do you believe who Jesus Christ said who he was and who the Word of God says who he is, and do you believe that he was literally resurrected from the dead? You need to make Jesus Lord of your life today. Come down and pray with one of our prayer team members. Just say, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. Maybe you're in this place, and you've been in a backslidden condition, and you know, yeah, maybe a lot of the Word of God, a lot of these things, these accounts about Jesus, they become just common to you. You lost the awe of who Jesus was, and today you want to rededicate your life to him. You know your life's a mess, you know you're going in the wrong direction, but today you want to change course, you want to follow your Heavenly Father again. Come on down and just say, I want to rededicate my life to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Maybe you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism with speaking in tongues, all right? It's not a Living Waters Chapel thing. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's not charismatic. It's a Bible thing, all right? Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's a second experience after getting born again, all right? So if you want to learn more about that, come on down, pray with one of the prayer team members. If you need prayer for yourself, family member, anybody else, they'll hang out and pray with you. So God bless you all. I hope you got something out of this. And keep thanking God for Rolling Stones. You know where to find me if you need me. God bless you all. Love you all. Visitors, come on back and party with us. Hallelujah.